Okay, a few short things for the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Okay, number one, this is a popular, but I saw this about in a few Haggadahs, just an interesting yisoid. In the Haggadah, we read about the Makos. Dam, Tzvadeh, Kinum, Arvdeh, Rav Shul. I don't have an Haggadah in front of me, but we'll do from memory. Oh, here's an Haggadah. Oh, it's in Megillah. Look, wrong holiday. Wrong holiday. We have the Haggadah, we have the Dam, Tzvadeh, Kinum, Arvdeh, Rav Shul, and the last of the Makos is Makas B'choyos. That's what it says in the Haggadah. Yeah. Along comes Rabbi Yudah, who you know, Simbuchem Simonim. Tatzach Adash Be'achav. So seemingly, Rabbi Yehuda is just coming to be Makatsi, just coming that you don't have to actually say all of the, you don't have to remember all of the, giving a mnemonic, you don't have to remember every single maka in order. If you have the siman that sachadash be'achav, automatically you will remember the order of the makos. So there's much discussion as to why he gave the simanim. Someone suggests he's coming to refer to the Seder of the Makos in the Torah, not the Seder of the Makos in Sefer Tehillim. In Sefer Tehillim, there are two parakim which break up the Makos, and the Makos are in a different order. So Rav Yudah wants to remind the people at the Seder, be very careful that at the Seder, Seder is all about Seder. It's all about order. And there's a system to the order. Don't be confused to follow the system of Hallel, what it says in Sefer Tehillim, even though part of the Haggadah is to recite Hallel, to give Shadach V'Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when we describe the history of the Seder, focus on what it says in the Torah, the order that Tzach Adash Bi'achav. Okay, that's the sum. I'm sure you all we're well aware of the Milsa B'dichusa that Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara says was the Rosh HaMedabrim. He was always the first speaker. He was the public speaker. Why? Because he was short. Because the other speakers gave long drushes for many hours. Rabbi Yehuda, he was short and sweet. Tzach Adash Bi'achav. Everyone likes a short speaker, and that's why he was the Rosh Hashanah. That's just a joke. But there's another idea. Rabbi Yehuda is really coming to disagree. He's coming to disagree with the Tanakhama, with the first opinion of the Haggadah. The first opinion of the Haggadah calls the last Maka Makas B'choyros. In the Simonim, that Tzach Adash Bi'achav, it's just the letter base. The Mem, there is no Mem. What's the difference between Makas B'choyros and B'choyros? The difference is, there's a popular medrash that when Moshe told Paro there's one more Makkah, the last Makkah is going to be Makkah, the firstborns will die. When the firstborns of Egypt heard that they were going to die in a couple of nights, and B'chatzi HaLayla, they rebelled. They got together and they said, enough is enough. We have already been smitten with 9 Makkos, and now Moshe is predicting our death. Enough is enough. There was a rebellion, they all got together, and there was a civil war. I don't remember the exact measures, the exact numbers, but Chazal say that this civil war that broke out in Egypt, there were more dead that were killed in this civil war than people who died from the Makos and the firstborns themselves, and what happened in the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. There was this is a major event that happened in Egypt. Moshe says that in a week from now, there's going to be Makas Bukharos. The Bukharos got up, they unionized, they got together, they rebelled, a civil war broke out, and the Bukharos wiped out hundreds of thousands of Egyptians. That's what it means. Makas b'choyros.
The Malbim makes the point of saying that the Jews had to stay indoors for the simple reason to avoid the rampant
the war,
of mobs.
The mobs that would
kill Jews because they were taking the common. Now besides,
they wanted to let the Jews go free, so we should not die. And this took place before Chatzos HaLayla. So this was what is called Makas b'choyros. The Bechor, the firstborns, joined together and began to kill, to defend themselves, or tried to convince the government to let the Jews go so they will not have to die. This took place in advance of the firstborns dying. In other words, now that's according to the Tanakhama. Along comes Rabbi Yehuda, I disagree. It's not the 10 makos, makas first. That was a side event. That does not count. The last makos was the death of the firstborns themselves. And that's why in the Simonim, that Tzach Hadash Be'achav, the last four letters is Beis, is Borod, Arbe, Choshech, Bechoyrois. The firstborns themselves died. So there's a major fundamental difference between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda as what the 10 makos are. We are always brought, there are 10 makas. And the last maka was makas b'choros. Why is there the word maka that comes before b'choros? So the answer, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the death of the firstborns was not a maka. This was an event which culminated, which happened at the time when we went free. The 10 makos were everything leading up through Choshech, and then the fact that the firstborns of Egypt themselves wiped out a significant number of the population, the people in Egypt, at a rebellion, a civil war. That was the 10th Makkah. Then there happened also... What?
How does she include as a Makkah? Didn't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Oh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instigated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
the civil war itself was not.
That was all part of the plan. That's the Chiddush. That's the Chiddush according to the Shita of the Rabbanon, the first opinion in the Haggadah. The Rabbanon hold it's Makas B'choros, the infliction of the firstborn. The firstborns were instigated, they rebelled, and they themselves killed their fellow Egyptians in Mitzrayim. Makas B'choros, the firstborn. So that is the Makas. That's the primary focus.
So when Moshe was told to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. That was part of the plan.
That was what Hashem was saying, that I know that the...
That was part of the plan.
The dream will have an end.
Yes, exactly. It makes it much more complicated. That there was a plan.
That wasn't a miracle.
What?
A civil war is not a miracle. The miracle was that they died in the middle of the night.
It wasn't. So you want to say So who says it has to be a miracle? Why does it have to be a miracle? The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, he made an announcement, and that announcement provoked the people a civil war, to some degree that is a miracle. Ein Acham, the biggest miracle is to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's very a lot of depth, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls world events.
It wasn't like, natural, the other markets were all something that was supernatural.
So Ein Acham, that's the greatest miracle, like we're talking Purim, is to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is, you could see Hashem in the natural events of this world. Where in the world can you have such a thing where a person gets up, makes an announcement, sends out an email, and his email will result in a civil war where millions of people will die?
So there should have been an 11th Makkah. 11th Makkah was the death in the middle of the night.
That is insignificant, since the two are related. See, it's two sides. So we're saying it's good.
No.
The fact that they had the people, the truth is the two are related. They're really two sides of one coin. You can't discuss one without the other.
Right.
Moshe says, guess what? The Chatzos HaLaila, the firstborns will all die. And that was supernatural. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'chvod V'Atzma came and he took the lives of the firstborns. But that, according to the first opinion, was insignificant relative to the slaughter of who knows millions of Egyptians, because of the fear and the belief, the recognition that they knew not that there is a Creator, and the Creator will indeed take the lives of these firstborns, and these firstborns did not want to die, and they were willing to go to war against their own country to save their lives, and that resulted in the death of millions of people. That is the greater insignificance from our perspective than the actual death of the firstborns. That is the Shita of the Rabbanan, who tell us that there were 10 makos in Mitzrayim. The last makah has two sides, there are two parts of that, but when you want to focus on which aspect of the 10th makah is significant for us to focus on in the Seder, it's the makas b'choros. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He is of the opinion that when you want to focus on this event, you have to focus on the supernatural. The supernatural is the Kesi Kol B'chobi Eretz Mitzrayim. It's B'choros. It's the death of the B'choros, not the Makas B'choros.
Only the death of the B'choros. It's the
the skipping of the...
Hashem passed over. So that's the Pesach.
Which is completely,
that's the Pesach. Maybe there's repetition. Okay, there's much to discuss. I don't want to open up
a
Pesach.
It's a different level than people... You
know, that's the Pesach. So maybe this it's superfluous. If we're going to eat the Korban Pesach, and you focus on the Korban Pesach, that itself discusses the death of the firstborn. So why do you have to now focus on Pesach and B'choros? If you're going to anyway focus on this event, as one of the Ten Makos, focus on something different to of the fact that this instilled fear in the Egyptians to the point where a civil war broke out and millions of people died.
The Nes of the B'choros was that the shrine was meant as Sharei Tuma. No one knew who their mother was.
That was a miracle. Yeah, that's a supernatural. But yeah, the culmination is something. There's something very deep in this idea. This idea, I saw this in a number of Haggadahs in the Likud. I don't know who says, but this idea is a very deep idea. Where according to we have repetition. We're giving simonim. The reason why the Baal Haggadah is presenting, there are simonim for everything. Today you go into a Sfarim store, you can find a book, a sefer, that will make simonim out of everything. There are probably simonim for every part of the Haggadah. Why didn't the Haggadah, do we have to focus on particular this simon, that tzach hadash b'achav? It's not important. When you have the real thing, you don't need to focus on the simon. The reason why the Baal Haggadah selected to take this simon and put it in the Haggadah is to bring out a point. Since I really gave this simon, and this simon there is no mem, there's just the days, B'choros, it awakens us to realize that the primary focus of B'choros is not the supernatural death of the firstborns, it is the Emunah. Remember, what is the Haggadah all about? It's all about Emunah, belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so great and so contagious, even the Egyptians knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was real. And when they heard that an event is going to happen, they believed it's going to happen, to the point where they were willing to go and kill their own family members to save their lives. Because they believed, and that itself is a greater miracle, a much greater limud for us to learn from than actually focusing on the fact that the firstborns died b'chatzi alayla. That's the shita of the Rabbanan. And we only appreciate that when you contrast that with Rabbi Yehuda, who gives the simonim and makes no mention of the mem, of the makas b'choros, but focuses only on the death of the b'choros.
So the Rabbanan crediting the Mitzrayim with Amunah?
Yes. Well, yes. There is a silver lining in the fact that they killed their own people because they believe they're going to die. Moshe says you're going to die. They should laugh him out. Only a year ago, they were who's Moshe? They believed Moshe to the degree where they came together and they started a civil war. Okay, let's go to another idea.
What?
Some of them bought the animals.
The others didn't believe. Right. That was a dispute. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have a minhag of eating an egg. When we begin Shulchan Aruch, the first thing that many people do when you begin Shulchan Aruch, the first course of Shulchan Aruch is to take an egg, dip it in salt, and eat the egg. Why do we eat the egg? So we discussed this before. It's a zeicha for Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, the same night of Pesach, is the night of Tisha B'Av. This year, Pesach is Tuesday night?
Monday night.
I'm sorry, I always confuse those expressions. Monday night, so that means Tisha B'Av this year will be Monday, will be Tuesday, will be Monday night. So the truth, so why do we eat an egg? So just a pasuk. Everyone knows that when you go to a wedding, the last thing they do before they say mazel tov is they break a glass cup. Why? Everyone knows they sing. Im tidbak l'shoyni l'chiki im loy eskrech im loy ala es Yerushalayim al roich simchasi. They sing that song. So everyone associates that song with getting married. Getting married is called Rosh Simchasi. Is really getting married a person's... I guess it is. Rosh. Rosh. If that's why they sing it. But interestingly enough, the Mefarshim say the real Rosh Simchasi is the Seder. Is Pesach. The Yom Tov of Pesach. Because Pesach, the Samachta Bichagecha, the Torah says you have to have Simcha Bichagecha, and Pesach is the Rosh. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim is Rosh Hashanah, and they actually apply this pasuk to that's why we eat the egg. Let me quote you the exact words. Tidbak L'shani L'chiki Im Lo Es Kirechi Im Lo Ala Es Yerushalayim Al Rosh Simchasi V'Hainu Shebizmanei Simcha V'Prat Rosh Simchasi Hu Chaga Pesach. Rosh Hamoados. That's the time you have to remember Yerushalayim. So when you're eating the eggs, you're being Mekayim more than you're Mekayim Rosh Simchasi by a wedding. When they break a glass by a wedding, you're being Mekayim Rosh Simchasi at the Seder. This is Rosh Simchasi. Now we have to remember the Chum Yerushalayim, and we eat an egg, and egg is a food for Avelos. Okay, now there's a Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim says something amazing. Why we eat an egg by the Seder, by Shulchan Aruch? It's not for Yerushalayim, it's the Avelos of Avraham Avinu. We have a tradition. Avraham Avinu died Erev Pesach. And therefore, it's refreshed. The Avelos of Avraham is fresh, especially being that Avraham Avinu is the one that is the Shorish of the Shibud of Ger Yezrech of Eretz Lelohem. It's fascinating that the egg is a Zecher for Avraham Avinu. Okay, let's jump ahead to benching. Who benches? So this is a Ramah. This is not a Chassid Shavuot. This is Mamash and Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah. Who benches? The Baal HaBayis is supposed to bench. Why? Tov Ayin Hu Yivarach. Someone who has a good eye is blessed. Al Tikri Yivarach Ela Yivarech. Why is the Baal HaBayis the one that benches? Because he is the one that is responsible for saying Holach Ma'anya. He's the one that publicly invited guests to come to the Seder. So being that he's the one that said Holach Ma'anya, Bedafka, there's a Hakpad on the night of the Seder, he should be the one to bench. He's Holach Ma'anya, he's the one that's generous, so therefore he's the one that should lead the benching. Now before we come to benching, we eat the Afikoymen. There's a fascinating minute from the family of the Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, by Shulchan Aruch, the custom was there was no dessert. Okay, when you go to your Seder, do you eat dessert? Do they serve after you have karpas, and you have matzah and maror, and you have soup and fish? And so do you have dessert? So many, I'm sure, many people have. There are people have dessert. So in his family, why? Because the afikomen is called dessert. Ein maftirin achar ha-pesach afikomen. One of the afikomen is a Greek word which means dessert. If Chazal have chosen to use the word afikomen to describe the matzah that we eat at the end of the Seder in reference to the Korban Pesach, or the matzah that was in the Korban Pesach, if Chazal chose that word, he's telling us that the afikomen is dessert. Therefore, it's an amazing minhag. He held that it's a zilzal in the kedusha of the matzah for you to eat at the end of your Shulchan Aruch, piece of cake, to eat some ice cream, to eat whatever you're going to eat, some fruit. It's a zilzal. If Chazal have selected this unique word, afikomen, to describe the matzah that you eat at the end, that's dessert. A person has to put his mind, has to have been a frame of mind to look at the items in the Seder as the dessert. The dessert is afikomen. It's as if you're eating a chocolate cake when you eat that last piece of matzah for your afikomen. That's your dessert. It's an amazing minute. It's a shocking minute. It really, really wakens up a person what your priorities in life should be. Your priorities should be in the view of Chazal, not in our corrupted way of looking at things. Okay, let's go to another idea. This is it's a cute way of looking at something. We have the Kais Sachamishi, the Kais of Eliyahu. Most people call the Eliyahu the Kais Sachamishi, the fifth cup. Kenege the Pasuk of the Hevesi. However, some say that's not, you shouldn't look at it as the fifth cup. It's the first cup. It's the first cup of the next cycle of Geula. There are only really four cups at the Seder. When you fill up the Kais of Eliyahu, you're beginning a new cycle of Geula. Just like we relive this experience of Mitzrayim every single year, Tzeis v'Yitzat v'Gadol v'Lakachti, Chayav Adam Liro Satz v'Kilo Yotzim v'Mitzrayim, we relive the experience. The Kodesh Eliyahu is not the fifth cup. Don't look at it as the fifth cup. Look at the Kodesh Eliyahu as the first cup of the new cycle of Geula that awaits us coming up to Mashiach. Just a short idea, a different way to look at something. Okay, let's go to another just a halachic inyan, an interesting idea in halacha. If a woman forgets to say Yalla v'yavo on the night of a yomtif, or the day of yomtif, she mechuyev to repeat the Shmona Esrei. We all know that on Shabbos, if you forget to say Yalla v'yavo, a man is mechuyev, I would say, if a person eats a suda, and you forget to say Ritzei, everyone knows you have to be. If a woman forgets to say Ritzei, she mechuyev on a regular Shabbos. Regular Shabbos, a woman forgets to say in benching. Of course, a woman is no different than a man. However, the halacha is if a woman forgets to say Yale V'yavo when she the meal of Yantif, a woman is not mechuyev to repeat the benching, Birchas Hamazon. Why not? Because the Samachta Bechagecha, the only reason why we eat on Yantif is because of Simcha, the Samachta Bechagecha, and it's a mitzvah shazman grama, may ikar hadin, a woman has no chiv of Simcha on Yantif, and therefore for a halacha, if a woman forgets to say Yalav Yavo on Yantif, she does not have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon.
Benching.
And then Shmon Esrei, anyway, you say the Nusach HaTzvila. In benching, a woman on Sukkot and on Shavuos and on all the meals of Pesach. Again, if a woman forgets to say Yale V'yavo in Birchas Hamazon, she does not need to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. That's the obligation that the man has to make sure that his wife has Simcha. But she does not have her own independent obligation to have Simcha. A husband has a mechiv to be mesamech his wife, but she does not have a chiv to be mesamech herself. So therefore, if she forgets to say, she does not have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. The only exception is the night of the Seder. The night of the Seder is the only time during Birchas Hamazon, if a woman forgets to say Yalav Yavo, she must repeat the benching, because eating matzah is a din d'oraisa even for Noshim. It's part of the Seder, and therefore she must repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Now that opens up the issue. What about when you make the bracha of Al HaGefen? Interesting Lomish issue. We make the bracha of Al HaGefen after you drink the fourth cup of wine. We come to the end of the Seder, we drink the fourth cup of wine, and we make the bracha achrayna Al HaGefen. Let's say you forget to say v'samcheinu b'yoyim chag hamatzos hazeh. Are you mechuyiv? Let's talk about a man. Let's talk about a woman. Are you mechuyiv to repeat the bracha of Al HaGefen? Now normally throughout the year, you never have to repeat an Al HaGefen. Because on Shabbos, it's not part of Yotzeh with the meal. Yeah, you have to anyway eat bread. So when you're making an al hamichya, that's not part of the ikar chiyuv. If you forget to say with seva hachalitzim, yeah, my Shabbos is on a regular Shabbos, you would never have to repeat the al hamichya or the al hagefen. And on Yom Tov, certainly not. Because again, also you're eating a regular meal. But some would want to suggest and argue that when it comes to the dalit kosos, since the Rabbanim said you must drink four cups of wine, and the only reason why you drink this fourth cup of wine is because of the chiv of the Seder, so if you forget to say v'samchein l'b'yom chag hamatzos hazeh after you drink the fourth cup of wine, perhaps is it a reason to argue that you should be required to repeat the Al HaGefen bracha, just like a woman is mechuyev to repeat the Birchas Hamazon if she forgets to say Yalav Yavo on the night of the Seder. L'chor, it's a very similar comparison, and this should be the only time when a man needs to repeat than Al Hamichi Al Gefen Bracha. However, the Poskim say you don't. Fascinating reason why? Because the reason why you're drinking the fourth cup of wine is not because of the day. The insertion of the Samcheinu B'yom Chag Hamatzos Hazeh is an addition that references the day. It's not referencing the Yayin. The reason why you're drinking the yayin is because a chiyuv to drink four cups of wine. A su'uda, when you eat the meal at the night of Pesach, or eat the matzah, that is tied to the day. When a woman eats matzah the night of Pesach, it's not just for the din matzah, it's a din achila to commemorate the day of Chag HaMatzos, the Tesvav B'Nisan. Then you have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. But drinking the wine, it's not because of the day, it's because the Rabban put upon a person an obligation to drink four cups of wine. It just so happens to be the four cups of wine are done at the Seder on this particular day. But the Chiyuv is not tied directly into the day, and therefore you do not have to repeat the Al HaGefen if you forget to say V'samchein B'yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh.
There's no chiv to make it bracha before the kais. Let's say you want to drink four kais.
You're not allowed to. Bracha shein tzricha.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a special takan. Exactly. That's exactly the point.
You drink a kais in the middle of the suda as your
food. Definitely not. Of course you don't make another bracha.
Huh?
You definitely not. Of course you don't make a bracha. No, you cannot. You have to say, I'll say that. You said on the halo. Okay, let's jump to another idea. Another quick idea. We have this word. We have the pid chasal sidur pesach kehil chasal. What does it mean, chasal? How would you translate the word chasal? It's finished.
Yeah.
It's over. It's finished. There are many words Chazal could have selected to express that idea? Why do they choose the word chasal? So I saw in the Haggadah, there's a Haggadah called the Hamasifta Haggadah. It's last year, this year, we have different editions. But he cites two different sources in Tanakh where the word chasal is used, and they both really open up an idea of what the Seder is all about. First source that he cites is a pasuk in the beginning of Shmuel, where Chana miraculously gave birth to Shmuel, and she promised that if I have a child, I'm going to dedicate his life to the Beis Hamikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She brought him to Eli HaKohen, and the pasuk says, Vayomer Elkana, Isha. Elkana, her husband said, Asi hatoy beinayich, shvi ad gomlech oso. Listen, I'm going to Shiloh, I'm going to be Kurbanos, you don't want to come, stay home. Stay home with the baby, Shmuel, until you wean him, until he's mature, 2 years old. A child needs to be nourished from the mother until he's 2 years old, at least in ancient times. Ad gam lech oso, ach yokem Hashem es tevaro v'ateshev ha'isha v'atenek espeno. The woman, she sat home, v'atenek espeno, she nursed her son, Ad, for 2 years, gam lo oso, until she weaned him. Targum, only one Targum in Shmuel, Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. This is in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Gimel, the Targum says, V'oinikas yas bira, she nursed her son, ad dachasilas yosei. Chasal. The Shoresh, the translation, chasal is an Aramaic word, which is the translation of weaning, gomlo oisoi. That's one translation. Now, there's another place, another makor for the word chasal, a very simple word, which opens up another whole world, in the Toichacha. In the Toichacha, it says about the Arbe, Zera Rav Totzi Hasodeh, part of the curse, person will a lot of plant, Uma'at Esoif, but you're only going to take a small amount in, Ki Yach Silenu Ha Arbe. What does it mean, Yachsanu Harbe? So here's the Targum Unkelis. So here's a Hebrew word. This is not an Aramaic word. Here it's a Hebrew word. And how do we just translate it in Aramaic? It says the same thing, Yachsilinei Goiva, Rashi. Rashi gives a little bit of a translation, Yichlenu. Yichlenu means until it consumes it. V'al Shem Kach Nikra Chosil Shemichale Esakoil. It consumes everything. And indeed, we go back, now we know that Arba, this word is associated with the word, with locust. And
one of the varieties
it consumes. But it's also associated, why Avi, let's go back to the Makos, there was Borod. Borod destroyed the majority of the crop, and then came Arba. Arba came next, and what did it say? Kasha Hoysir. The nature of Arbe, the nature of a locust, is to finish off every last mashahu you have left. That's why in this story it says yichaslenu ha'arbe. It finishes off every small amount. Now let's take these two words and let's go back to the Haggadah. What are we really trying to accomplish with the Seder? It's a very difficult question. You sit by the Seder, you have children, you talk to them, you try to instill within them emunah. You can talk forever. What's the whole Seder all about? The truth is, the whole tafkid of the Seder is captioned in one word. The word is chasal. When the Seder is over, you have declared, I have accomplished my mission. A person goes out on a mission and you come back to your superior and you say, mission accomplished. How do we say mission? We pat ourselves on the back when the Seder is over. Chasal Seder Pesach. Mission accomplished. What was the mission? By the way, what was the mission? What were you trying to... That's it? The Haggadah has a million things. There's Sibit Yisrael, we had Matzah, we had Marar, there was Sipur, there was Haggadah, there was Dalakos of Yayin, there was Chareses. You can talk for hours. What was the mission? Please define for me in clear terms the mission. Chazal were very clever. They told us what the mission was. They told us when you say mission accomplished, these are the words you use. Chasal the Seder Pesach. And that one word, chasal, you'll figure out what the mission was. So now, being we have the background for what chasal means, let's not try to figure out what the mission was. Chasal is a translation for weaning. a child comes into this world is dependent. There's nothing, there's no creature in this world that is more dependent than an infant. Even more dependent than an American citizen on Obama's government. A child is a dependent. An infant can do absolutely nothing. But it comes a point in time, a child achieves independence. When is that point in time? When his mother weans him, when he's 2 years old. Ad gamla oiso. Oh, a child has been weaned. He doesn't need to be nursed. He can eat on his own. He's independent. Now he can go to the Beis HaMikdash. Now we can begin to do all different things. The purpose of the Seder is to nurture us with emunah and with hashkafa to the point where now we are independent. We can now go through the remainder of the year with dignity, with emunah. We can stand on our own. We at the Seder are like infants that are being fed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're being fed with emunah and bitachon to the point where now we are independent. We can face the Yetzirah and overcome him. That's what Chassal is teaching us. Chassal is Seder Pesach. We have been weaned. We have reached maturity, spiritual maturity in this experience. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation appears to say, Chassal the Seder Pesach. Two variations of the other approach of focusing on the Arabic. We're cut off. It means to cut off, to completely separate, to consume. I guess that would mean that Pesach. There are two reasons. There are two different ideas in Pesach. One, because Hashem passed over the outdoors, had compassion, but Pesach was also an avodah zara. Mishchu ukuchulochem Pesach, ukuchulochem sev shachatu a Pesach. Withdraw from avodah zara and slaughter the Pesach. Sacrificing the current Pesach was a rejection of idolatry, a rejection of every toeva that existed in Mitzrayim. When we say chasal seder Pesach, there's a connotation, we are being cut off, we have cut ourselves off from everything that's wrong about Mitzrayim. Because chasal means, as the Rashi here says, yichlenu, to I don't say cut off. I'm not sure I'm saying that. It's something to think about. I'm not exactly sure I'm going the right path. This is in Devarim, Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Lamed Ches. Chof Ches Lamed Ches, to look at the Rashi, instead of the Rashi, may look at the Mefarshim. Also, what it can pass is, it means a total consumption. There's nothing that we have not done. Just like the Arbe consumes the leftovers. When we finish this Seder, Chasal Seder Pesach, it is complete. There's not an iota left that needs to be done more. We've extracted every spark of spirituality that exists in the Seder to the point where there's nothing, no stone that needs to be uncovered. Everything has been completely done. That's another way to approach the unique expression of Yechaslenu. It's a total completion. With no remnant. Okay, one last idea. This idea is most of it comes from the Sefer Birchas Ish by Rabbi Shane. Rabbi Shane, I want attention to you things from his a few times. He's a Rashiva in Yeshiva Staten Island. And he hears the following Yisod, and then I'll tie this into the Haggadah. His Yisod is as follows. Avraham Avinu, we have a pasuk in that we say every single day in Kriya Shema. Leman yirbu yimechem yimei v'nechem al hu adam asher nishba Hashem lohem. Right, we say Hashem lavosechem lavosechem loseis lohem. And you look in Rashi in that pasuk, Parshas Ekev. Look there in Rashi. Rashi asked the question, asher nishba lavosechem. The pasuk should have said lavosechem loseis lohem. If you were writing the pasuk, that's what you would have read. Loseis lochem, to give to you. Why does the pasuk say, because who's lochem? Referring to the descendants. Mm-hmm. Hashem promised Eretz Yisrael, Hashem promised the land to the Avos, that their children would one day inherit the land. Asher nishva Hashem la'avoseichem, Hashem swore to her la'av to their la'avoseichem to your forefathers, la'seis to give lochem to you the children. Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to Klal Yisrael. Hashem swore to your forefathers that the day would come when their children, you, the people in front of me, will one day inherit the land. But it doesn't say that. It says in the pasuk, Asher nishva Hashem la'avoseichem la'seis lochem to give them, to give the forefathers themselves the land. Rashi says, but it doesn't make sense. Our forefathers never lived long enough to enter into the Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi here said that passage. Look up the Rashi in the Baal Pasuk, Mikan. From here we learn, this is one of the few sources in the Torah, Mikan L'tchias HaNesim Min HaTorah. This is one of the most important Rashis in the Torah. Mikan L'tchias HaNesim Min HaTorah. We say this every single day in Kriya Shema, Asher Nishba Hashem La'avoseichem L'aseis Lohim. They will one day be resurrected, and they will walk into the land, they will take possession of the land just like us, and therefore that's when they will be fulfilled. Mitchan L'tchias HaNesim. Okay, here's the question. We know that Lot was the nephew of Avram. And Lot and Avram did not see eye to eye. And the pasuk tells us why. There was a rift between Roy Avram. The shepherds of Lot would let the animals pasture without muzzles in the land. And the Roy Avram said, Gezel! You can't go and let the animals pasture in the land. It's not our land. What's the dispute between the Roy Lot and the Roy Avram? The Roy Lot said, Avram already possessed it. They already possessed the land. Yemela, it's ours. We're Yarshim. Avram does not have a child. Lot is Yarish, therefore it's our land. The Roy Avram said, not so fast. It did not yet happen. We did not yet enter the land. It's premature. It's Gezel. Now, who was right? Big dilemma. They were fighting about this. And why didn't Avraham and Lot settle the issue? It seems like it could not be settled so quickly. It wasn't settled. Maybe Avraham did indeed possess the land. At that point in time, Hashem promised to Avraham, to Yitzchak, and Yah, Hashem promised the land. So maybe he did. We have a tradition, he made a chazakah. So did he possess? Did he not possess? Was it just a token? What's going to be in the future? It was not resolved. Here came the issue. Klal Yisrael, they go down to Mitzrayim. They're there in the land for 210 years. They're sinking, sinking lower and lower. All of a sudden, Hashem says to Moshe, tell the people, Pakod Pakadati, it's time to go. Time to go. It says in the Pasuk, Hashem told Avraham Avinu, Ki ger yihye zarecha bi'eretz loy lohem, v'avodim v'inu yosam arba me'oshana. You can have a child, zarecha, children, zera, and the children are going to live in a land that's not theirs. They're only there for 210 years. The Eretz Lo Lohem. They're only in Egypt for 210 years. How can you possibly fulfill the bris milah of some 400 years? So Hashem says, Hashem was chishev esaket. I never gave you Eretz Yisrael. When Avraham was living in Eretz Canaan, lech lecha me'aretz lecha mimoylatcha, when Hashem told Avraham to leave Aram Naharaim and to go to Eretz Canaan, I never gave it to him. It wasn't his land. I promised him that one day, the day will come when his children will one day inherit the land. But he never got it. Therefore, when Yitzchak was born in the Holy Land, it wasn't his land. Yitzchak was born in the land, the Eretz, Asher Lo Lohem. Asher Lo Lohem, it wasn't there. So therefore, Egypt was 210 years. And Eretz Yisrael was 190 years. So that's Lo Lohem includes two lands, Israel and Egypt. They're both Eretz Lo Lohem, because I never gave it to Avraham Avinu. Oh, but it says Hashem Nishba Hashem La'avoseihem La'seis Lohem again. Oh, Mikan L'tchias HaNesim in HaTorah. Until the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, there was no raya. This is critical. It's a brilliant idea from the Birchas Ish, Rishain. Until Yitzias Mitzrayim, there is no mekar that is going to be Tchias HaNesim. No guarantees. Oh, but it says, Hashem made a haftocha, you Avram, I'm giving you the land. I gave you. Avram, I'm giving you this land. Make a chazaka. Pick up the earth. Survey the boundaries. It's your land. I fulfill the land. But now, when Hashem tells Klal Yisrael, it's time to leave. Time to leave. We got 190 years to go. No, I never gave Avram the land. He never gave Avram the land? But he made a chazaka. No, that wasn't a real. That was a model seder. That wasn't a real thing. That was make-believe. Oh, but you promised Avraham the land.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Mikan Nikat l'tchias hameisim in the Torah. There'll be tchias hameisim.
That's why they
sang those. Oh, so now it comes out that the Tzias Mitzrayim revealed Tchias HaMeisim. Now, what do I want all this? We mentioned this last week. We discussed the Baruch Shomer Haftachasai. Hashem guarding. Now, first of all, why does it say Shomer B'loshoyin Hoive? It should say Shomar. Haftachasai. Hashem guard in the past tense. Shomar haftachasai. He guarded the bris for Chishev Esaketz. And the second question, which is, there's no good answer. Haftacha? What haftacha? The bris ben Absarim is a gezerah. There was no gap. We had to do it. Hashem didn't do it for us. We had to be shel from Mitzrayim. What's the haftacha? And why is the haftacha b'loshen hoyve? It should be b'loshen avar and shomer gezerasai. His gezerah. What's going on? There's no perish. The answer is, and why? Next question. Why after we say shomer haftachasai, the next thing is v'hi sha'amda. What does v'hi sha'amda have to do with the haftacha of the bris ben Absalom shebechol dar v'dar emdi b'leinu l'chala sinvi hakadosh baruch hu matzileinu miyadam? What does all this have to do with one another? So the answer is, the haftacha is the haftacha of Tchias HaMeisim. What? Let me take a step back. The haftacha is that the haftacha of Tchias HaMeisim. That's what it means. The haftacha is when Hashem said to Avraham, let's clarify. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu that I'm giving you the haftacha is I'm going to give there will be Tchias HaMeisim, and when there will be Tchias HaMeisim, you will come back and you will take possession. That is the unwritten haftacha that is alluded to in this expression Baruch, and that's why it's Beloshon Hoiver. Beloshon Hoiver because Tchias HaMeisim on the ultimate Tchias HaMeisim has not yet occurred, but throughout the generations we have minor forms of Tchias HaMeisim. The proof is, and we say every single day the Baruch of Mechayim Meisim. What's Mechayim Meisim? Somech Noflim Verofei Cholim Umatir Asurim. That's Tchias HaMeisim. The dead aren't coming. Every time a person is in the Matzif where everything is going is collapsing under a Neufel, a Chayla, and a person that's in prison, for him to be released, for a person to get well, for a person to rise up, these are degrees of Tchias HaMeisim, and that's why it's nichol in the bracha of Mechayim Meisim. Baruch Shomer Haftachasai, blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is continuously guarding this guarantee that Hashem, a bracha that Hashem has given Klal Yisrael, there will always be a matzav of Tchias HaMeisim, and the makor for Tchias HaMeisim is Yodoya Teda, the bris ben Absarim. Hashem was chishev esaketz, and by being mechashev the ketz and saying ger that the eretz lo yelochem includes eretz Canaan, that automatically reveals to us Hashem nishpa lochem it's tchias hameisim, and now we understand perfectly why we say the hishyamder shebechol dor vador oimdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. Every generation will be derech hateva. We're goners. And the fact that we survive every single generation is a degree of Tchias HaMeisim. Just like in the Shemona Esrei. Somech Noflim V'Roifei Cholim Matir Asurim is all captured within the theme of Baruch Atah Hashem Mechayei HaMeisim. That's all part of Tchias HaMeisim. So the fact, the Shomer Haftacha is Tchias HaMeisim. The Makar for Tchias HaMeisim is the bris ben Havsarim, Hashem Chishev Esaketz. That's a revelation Hashem never gave the Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. And therefore, Hashem Nishba Lohem means he has to come back and become, he has to come back to life again once again. In the future, there will be Tchias HaMeisim. And there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim. That's not just a Tchias HaMeisim when the dead come up from the ground. It's a Tchias HaMeisim in general, in the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. They will always survive against all odds. The ability to survive against all odds is, in essence, Tchias HaMeisim. Shebechol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyadam. Okay, yeah.
I could reinterpret the term shomer as,
yeah,
like in Leil Shomerim.
Anticipation. Hashem is shomer the haftacha of Tchias HaMeisim. Okay, very nice. Okay, we'll stop here. Mishum, tomorrow, we'll clarify one thing. Tomorrow, we'll have a shiur. The question is, no, Chol HaMoed, Thursday, there will not be a shiur on Thursday. The question is, would you like